Yashoda Nandana Prajajana Randana Yamunati Ravana Chari Yamunati Ravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavi Hari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees. All glories to Sri Guru, Sri Guranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shema Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shemate Bhakta Vedanta Swami Nityanamani Namaste Sarasvata Devi Gauravani Prachadane Nirvashesha Shunyavadi Vastacha Desha Tadane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 68, Verse 37. Yes, Angri Pankaja Brajo Kila Loka Pale. Yes, Angri Pankaja Brajo Kila Loka Pale. Maluta Madritam Upasita Tirta Tirtam. Brahma Bhavoham Apiyasya Kala Kalaya. Shishodvahema Chiramasya Nripasanam Kva. Thank you. Yasya, who's angry of the feet, Pankaja, lotus-like, Raja, dust, Akila, of all, Loka, worlds, Palai, by the rulers, Mauli, on their helmets, Uttamai, exalted, Dhritam, held, Upasita, worshipable, Tirtha, of holy places, Tirtham, the source of holiness, Brahma, Lord Brahma, Bhava, Lord Shiva, Aham, I, Api, also, Yasya, whose, Kala, portions, Kalaya, of a portion, Shri, goddess of fortune, Cha, also, Udvahema, carry carefully, Chiram, constantly, Asya, his, Nirapasanam, king's throne, Kva, where? Translation, the dust of Krishna's lotus feet, which is the source of holiness for all places of pilgrimage, is worshipped by all the great demigods. The principal deities of all planets are engaged in this service, and they consider themselves most fortunate to take the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna on their crowns. Great demigods like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and even the goddess of fortune and I are simply parts of his spiritual identity, and we also carefully carry that dust on our heads. And still Krishna is not fit to use the royal insignia or even sit on the royal throne. Purport, the above translation is based on Srila Prabhupada's Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, the place of pilgrimage especially referred to here is the Ganges River. The Ganges water is inundating the whole world, and since it is emanating from Krishna's lotus feet, its banks have turned into great places of pilgrimage. So, here we have a very poetic statement by Balaram, in spite of the fact that he's very angry at the Kurus. And the statement is a praise of Krishna. And of course, previously he's already said that Krishna is greater than all the demigods, and even Lakshmi worships his lotus feet. So why doesn't he deserve to be a king or be respected like a king, since even Lakshmi, the wife of Vishnu, is worshiping him? So this verse expands on that in detail, explaining the position of Krishna in comparison with everyone else. So, and of course, he does this by simply mentioning his feet. feet, of course, are considered the lowest part of a human being. But even his feet are most respectable. What to speak of, you know, anything else like his hands or his face or his head or his hair or whatever. So even his feet are the most respectable of all and worshipped by everyone. They are most worshipable, more worshipable than any of the holy places. They're worshipped by the devatas, Lokapala, those who control the different planets. And not only that, but even Brahma, the chief demigod, worships those lotus feet. And higher than that is Shiva, who's also a form of the Lord. He also worships those feet. And of course, then Balaram says, even I worship those feet. And he says, Sri Lakshmi worships those feet. So, in other words, everyone in the material world and in the spiritual world should worship Krishna. So in this way, Krishna is pointed out as the supreme form. Not only he is the supreme Lord, but even among the forms of the Lord, he is the most elevated. He is supreme. This, of course, is also the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam. The whole purpose of Bhagavatam not only is to indicate that we should worship Krishna, but also we should worship Krishna because he is the highest form of the Supreme Lord. He is more remarkable than Vishnu or Nrisimhadeva or Rama or any other form of the Lord. Therefore, everyone should worship him. So that's the whole point of the Bhagavatam. So though this statement is first made in the first canto, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, after mentioning all of the different avatars of the Lord, then it says, but Krishna is Bhagavan Swayam. They're also Bhagavan, but he is Bhagavan Swayam. He is even more Bhagavan than they are, which means that he is the supreme form of Bhagavan. Because he manifests more qualities than any other form. This is a statement that occurs at the beginning of the Bhagavatam. And our acharyas point out that this is the main statement of the Bhagavatam, and every other statement should be made to agree with that. So if there is a glorification of a devata, or a glorification of Brahma, or a glorification of Shiva as supreme, then it has to be correlated and harmonized with this statement, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. So therefore, if Krishna is supreme, then Shiva or Brahma or a devata cannot be supreme. So therefore, it is exaggerated praise in the case of others. So sometimes, of course, we see the word Bhagavan used for Narada Muni or for Vidura or any great personality. So then we understand that this is these ajivas, so not true. But then Shiva is addressed as Bhagavan. So then we say, oh, he's equal to Vishnu or whatever like that. In one sense, he is a form of Vishnu. But then again, a little bit exaggerated. Because we know that the qualities that Vishnu manifests are more than the qualities of Shiva. So, though others get praise in the Bhagavatam, finally, everything should be correlated with this statement, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. This, of course, automatically negates any glorification of Brahman or impersonalism. Sometimes Brahman gets praised also. But then Krishna is the supreme, most attractive form of all, and therefore most worthy of worship. So though other personalities are worthy of worship, Krishna gets the most worship. In the Vedas often tell people to worship devatas. They are superior.
and therefore we should worship them. And there are many different verses there in the Vedas, which and there's so many injunctions ordering one to worship devatas. Why? Because they are superior. And they can give some results, material results, etc. So they're worshipable. But higher than the devatas, then is Brahma, the head of the devatas. So he gets more worship. Shiva gets more worship because he's not even a jiva. He's beyond the material world. His body is Satchidananda. So he must get more worship, definitely. So various scriptures will praise Shiva as supreme because he is superior to all the devatas. But then, of course, Vishnu gets superior praise to that, or any form of Bhagavan. And we have many verses in the Bhagavatam glorifying worship of the Supreme Lord, distinguishing him from Shiva or Brahma or any devata. But then, all of this has to be correlated with the statement Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Of all the forms, Krishna is the Lord himself. He is the most important form of all to be worshipped. We will have statements to indicate that also. And this is one of those statements. That there are different forms of the Lord and there's different personalities, but Krishna's supreme form. So that is expressed here by saying that everybody worships him. So the devatas worship him. Brahma worships him. Shiva worships him. Lakshmi worships him. And Balaram worships him. So everybody is worshiping Krishna. So this is a statement to confirm that first statement, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Of course, in general, it's in this particular context, it's a refutation of the gurus who say that what is this whole dynasty and who is Krishna? We are superior to them. So they are treating Krishna and Balaram as material beings like themselves. So, of course, this refutes that. But more than simply refuting the fact that Krishna is a human being, but he is Bhagavan, it also confirms the statement that he is Swayam Bhagavan. He is the highest form of all the different forms of all. In this way, we get a very great glorification of Krishna. And who is doing this is Balaram himself. Who is a form of the Supreme Lord. So, elsewhere, we have a description that Krishna is number one, Balaram is number two, and then we have forms in Dwarka, and then which are Chatravyuha forms. Then we get Chatravyuha forms in Vaikuntha, Vasudev, Shankarshan, Pradumna, Aniruddha, and they expand into 24 forms there. In Vaikuntha forms like Hari and Keshava, Madhava, etc. in the spiritual world. And then we also get the different forms which are avatars in the material world like Nishirma and Vamana and Varaha and Hayagriva, etc. And we get the Purusha avatars who are expansion from the Chatravyuha also. So we get Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, Shirdakshay Vishnu. So in this way we get so many different forms of the Supreme Lord. They all emanate from Balaram. Balaram is there. He's the first expansion. Then after that we get all these other expansions like the Purusha avatars from Shankarshan, etc. Coming out. In this way we get innumerable forms manifested throughout the spiritual world and the material world. And we can trace it all back to Balaram. But then from Balaram, we trace everything back to Krishna as the highest form of all. So Balaram is saying, even I worship Krishna. So though Krishna is younger, a little bit, still Balaram worships him. Why? because he has the highest manifestation of qualities of power and of sweetness. So, how is Krishna more powerful than Balaram? Of course, we can simply say that Krishna manifests everything fully, and then his first expansion is Balaram. But this is dramatically manifested or shown in the Brahma Mohana Lila, where even Balaram was bewildered for 1 year almost, and he did not know that all the forms of the calves and cowherd boys were actually Krishna. So he, like all the cowherds there, everyone, the people of Raja, they all thought, oh, these are the cowherd boys and the calves. And Balaram also thought that. How is it possible? So Balaram comes to the conclusion, it is possibly because it's Krishna's power. He has more power than me. He can bewilder me. No one else can bewilder me, but Krishna's got more power. He can bewilder me. So that's an illustration of the greater power of Krishna. Greater power that definitely he has more sweetness than any other forms outside of Vrindavan and this Vaikuntha, etc. He has his Madhurya Rupa and his Madhurya Bhaktas and his Madhurya Leela and his Madhurya Venu. So you've got those aspects and other things as well, which are very, very sweet. So Balaram also is sweet because he has even Rasleela, he has same devotees, he has Madhurya Rasa, Sakya Rasa, Vatsalya Rasa, Dasya Rasa, etc. in Vrindavan, and they all regard him simply as cowherd also. So yes, very sweet. But Krishna's even more sweet. So therefore the majority of the 10th canto is concerning Krishna, and particularly in Vrindavan, the sweet pastimes he has there with all the personalities, because he has the most sweetness of all. Krishna is in the supreme position. Very correctly here, Balaram is indicating that. Here he says, even I worship the lotus feet of Krishna. So how is he not qualified to be the king or sit on the royal throne? Not only we respect the lotus feet, we carry the dust of the lotus feet on our heads. Even the dust, we just take the dust and we use that and we put that on our heads. So how is it possible that he cannot sit on a throne and get worshipped by mortal human beings, when even the devatas and Brahma and Shiva and Balaram are worshipping Krishna? What is the use of a material throne anyway? It's useless. But if even the forms in the spiritual world are giving such great respect to Krishna, and even the dust from his lotus feet, then what is the question of him occupying a throne and getting worshipped by other persons in this material world? So definitely everyone should worship him. In this way, he completely defeats the statement of the Kurus that the Yadus have no power or no possibility of getting respect from anyone. Ugrasena had sent the message. And so it wasn't Krishna, it was Ugrasena. So the Kurus indirectly insult Krishna and Balaram by simply saying, how can the Kurus do this? Or how can the Yadus do this? So they don't directly do it, but actually that's their intention, to criticize even Krishna and Balaram. Because everyone knows very well in this particular pastime that Krishna is the head of Dwarka, even though technically Ugrasena is the head. Actually, Krishna is the supreme person there. So ultimately, they are insulting Krishna among everyone else. And say, what a right does he have to tell us what to do? However, because Krishna is related with the Yadus, therefore, whatever power he has also goes to the Yadus, whoever they are, whether it's Ugrasen or anyone else in the Yadu dynasty. So they're also in that same high position, worthy of respect by everybody. So in this way also, Balaram refutes the insult given by the Kurus. So that insult, of course, arises from this completely atheistic mentality of the demon. They don't accept the position of Supreme Lord in any form, what to speak of Krishna, nor do they accept even Balaram or anyone else who's in that position of Bhagavan. And rather, they assert their own authority. So they are saying that they don't have a right. We are the kings. We are the persons who rule the earth. And Supreme Lord is nothing. And his associates are nothing. So this very graphically illustrates the materialist mentality, which is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, that the demons, they think, I've got so much power today, I've got so much wealth, tomorrow I'm going to conquer this person, I'm going to get more wealth and more wealth and more wealth, and everything else is useless, so I get more power and wealth, and this is the whole goal in life. So that is reflected here in the statement of the Kurus. In spite of the fact that among them they do have very wise persons like Bhishma and others, but still, the voice, the expression that comes out is completely demoniac. And therefore, this isn't a revelation of the necessity for annihilating the Kurus. They have this very bad mentality. So therefore, this justifies the later war of Kurukshetra in which the Kurus were annihilated.
Plus you're pointing out where this explain this worship of different demigods because they have some power. But this worshiping creating some contradiction when among the general people. If all the scriptures like where the Supernation just concentrate on worshiping the Supreme, like Krishna, Krishna Bhagavan said,
contradiction is solved.
Yeah,
if they do so. But then the counter argument is that many people don't have faith in the Supreme Lord or in prema or in rejecting the material world. They are more interested in living in the material world. So if you make such statements, they won't be interested. Why we should worship some Supreme Lord who's beyond the material world? We want to live here. So for that purpose, they should become elevated. So therefore, for that purpose, there are scriptures to encourage them to develop materially, to get more material comforts, but follow rules and regulations, follow some rules of worship, etc. So therefore, they are advised to worship devatas and gradually progress and regulate themselves so that they can rise to the gunas. If they come to sattva gun, then they begin to realize, not the body, and they become a little more detached, and they may go for liberation, whatever like that. So all of these directions in the Vedas are artha, dharma, kama. They are for people who don't have faith in moksha even. So they are advised simply to worship, and gradually they get satisfied in their material life and they regulate themselves more and more until they come to sattva. Then they can start thinking spiritually at that point.
Normally see, like some worship the Supreme Lord, doesn't give results so easily, but all the demigods immediately they give the result. So because of this, maybe there are people push the demigods because they try to get immediate result.
Yeah, of course. Krishna says, even if you want material things, you can come to me also.
Yeah?
And I will also give those things. But there's a prominence in the Vedas of encouraging people for material things. That's why they do that. My name is the best punya, so it can give you Brahmaloka or anything in the material world just by chanting the holy name. But people are not much aware of that, and they go to the devatas and get the benefits from them. Why? Because it's more prominently there mentioned in the Vedas. And why is that? Because, of course, Krishna is not exactly encouraging everybody to simply worship the Lord for material things. He doesn't publicize that so much. The Lord doesn't publicize that. But it's there, definitely. And whatever the devatas can give, Lord can also give.
Balaram is an immediate expansion of Krishna. Because he is the Supreme Lord, we want to see. But being a Supreme Lord, but he gives shelter to Duryodhana. He takes a side of Duryodhana. He has understood a little bit affection for Duryodhana, who is there. Because Balaram is a Supreme Lord, how can this? He has a weakness or he has a little bit affection for the demons.
Well, we can say that all of this is part of the pastimes, arrangement for pastimes, that he is friendly with Duryodhana, etc., and therefore he doesn't want to participate in the battle because of that, whatever, he doesn't want to disturb them, whatever. So, it's all part of pastimes only, not that he's in ignorance.
This particular episode of Balaram, talking about the significance of Lord Krishna, may be utilized or misconstrued by people that is preaching to the faithless.
Preaching to the faithless. Why? Because he's preaching to the Kurus?
Kurus.
Yeah. Well, it's not actually preaching, but but he's simply glorifying Krishna. And of course, not so much for the Kurus, but for everyone who reads Bhagavatam. Now, of course, the Kurus, among them, they're also devotees. So they can appreciate, like Bhishma can appreciate, and a few other devotees can appreciate that. Others definitely aren't going to appreciate that. So though we have the injunction that don't preach to the faithless persons, then we have exceptional cases, like Lord Chaitanya. he will preach to the faithless persons or whatever, by his extraordinary potency or whatever. And though in general it is said that don't disturb the minds of the people by giving them, if they're involved in karma, don't tell them to give everything up and do jnana or bhakti or whatever. So that's a general principle. But then the other thing is that one should always tell the truth. So if people make wrong statements, then you should actually tell them the truth, not agree with their wrong statement or their mistake. So therefore, in certain cases, even though it may appear to be a preaching to the faithless persons, statements are made to give the correct version. So here, the Kurus are making a completely wrong statement, which is also very blasphemous, aparad. So therefore, Balaram makes the opposite statement and corrects it.
Maharaj, there's a doubt from yesterday's class. Maharaj, Nitya and Naitika Karma same as Varna duties like teaching
what?
For a Brahmana? Or Nitya and Naitika Karma same as Varna duties like teaching for a Brahmana, protecting for a Kshatriya, agriculture for Vaishyas, etc.?
Is what the same?
Nitya and Naitika Karma are the same as the Varnashrama duties, Maharaj.
Nitya
and Naimitya karmas, are they same as the Varnashram duties?
Are they same as Varnashram? Well, they're part of the Varnashram duties. They're not the whole thing, but they're part of it, we can say. Unless we, yeah, so Naimitic activities like Shraddha rites. So everybody does Shraddha rites, whether they're Vaishya, Kshatriyas, Brahman, whatever, they all do it. Or they do some Nitya Kriyas or whatever also, like that. They may be slightly different also. But then they also do other things as well. which you don't generally classify as naimittic or nitya karmas.
Regarding this, you are saying that this is also past time because of Balaram supporting Duryodhana. So can you say that as Balaram also goes to the Supreme Lord, that establishing Adharma also is also the past time Supreme Lord?
Because the Adharma is produced by different materialistic or demonic elements who have their free will involved. So it's not that the Lord is creating that. However, we can say in a broad sense that time itself creates a variety in the gunas. So when there's tamogun prominent, then we get demons arising. So in that sense, okay, the Lord is responsible because the cycles of time, Kali Yuga, etc., are arranged by the Supreme Lord through Brahma. So in that sense, we can say responsible. But the individuals are the ones who make their decisions to do different things. So we cannot blame the Lord for their decisions, like Kamsa, and say that was arranged by the Lord that he be a demon. No, that was his individual decision.
Okay,